Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by Baylife Church, Port Stephens. We hope you find this message challenges and inspires you in your daily Christian walk. For more information, visit www.baylifechurch.org.au.
Choosing joy. And I don't know, one of the main themes around Christmas is love, joy and peace, isn't it? You see it on cards, you see it on signs, you see it on in shop windows, and they should have spend love, joy and peace or something like that, but they just have love, joy, peace. And I think, why do we have to wait till Christmas to focus on those things? Oh, that's right. I'll tell you one more thing before I jump in. The air conditioner should start being put in tomorrow. So we should have air conditioning next Sunday. So that's a good thing. I just looked up and saw some saggy faces and I went, yeah, that's right, I better tell you that. So you got a bit of hope. But the air conditioner should go in next week. So we'll have them for Christmas Eve, which will be very good. Very good. So why don't we live our lives full of love and full of joy and full of peace every day of our lives? Why don't we do that? You know, the book of Philippians, Paul talks about joy and rejoicing and being glad over 17 times while he's in jail, in chains, chained to a guard, waiting on a trial where he could well be killed. It's very likely he'll be killed. And he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, which is the church he actually planted. And he's in a tough spot, but he chooses to focus on joy. He chooses to rejoice. He chooses to be glad. And he's passing on that message to the church that he planted. You know, he says, you know, rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. It's a decision to do. It's not something that we feel. It's not happiness that's a superficial thing where circumstances affect and it's what happens to us. It's a joy that no matter what circumstances come at me, I'm choosing to be joyful. And we're going to look at Philippians 3 here this morning. And Paul actually gives us throughout this chapter some habits on living a joyful life. And they're habits we need to put into our lives every day. We all want more joy in our lives, right? I haven't met anyone who said, no, I got enough joy. I don't need any more. You know, I need some sad stuff now. You know, I need some tough stuff. I don't want to be joyful anymore. It's not the case. And it's very important we don't get confused the difference between joy and happiness, as I've already said. We already have this joy within us. If we are Christians, if you're saved, if you made a decision to follow Christ, you already have this joy, this supernatural joy in your heart. And what we need to do is to work out a way to let that outwork in our lives. You know, it's an attitude, it's a position, it's a choice. And what we talked about last week was how we can grow, we can work out that joy in our hearts. Yeah, and this morning we're going to talk about how we can be joyful every day of our lives. What are things we have to do on a regular basis to be joyful? Habits that we need to do. You know, what the heck, I'm going to do it anyway. We're a bit short on time this morning, but there's a video that I bought. I just like the video. I've played it once before in church, but here's the thing I want you to notice out of it. It's called Joyful Noise. I have a movie called Joyful Noise. And there's a line in this movie that says, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. It's a stunning line. And anyway, let's have a look at this. Thanks. No, we're not good. All right, we're not ready for that. Let me move on through the preach and maybe we'll have a look at the end if we've got space. So I'm not going to read out of Philippians 3 because it's quite a long chapter and it's quite complicated, but there'll be a lot of verses we look at this morning as a consequence of that. What's the first habit we have to do to live a joyful life? The first one, every day rest in God's grace. Every day rest in God's grace. You see, we don't have to earn his favor. We don't have to work hard for his favor. We don't have to maneuver for his blessing. We already have these things in our lives as Christians, you and me. We already have it. It's just that sometimes we don't act like it. We don't think like it. We don't live like it. We don't speak like it. We strive and we push and we pull and we try to make things happen in our own strength. Whereas God's grace has an ease about it. There's an ease about God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12:19 says this. This is what God's saying to Paul. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul responds with this. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." My grace is made sufficient in you. See, that's the difference between religion and relationship. Jesus doesn't want our religion. He doesn't want us to be religious. He doesn't care about our man-made rules and regulations. He wants relationship with us. And while we think it's about performing and being religious, you know, I love when people ask me that question. "Oh, so you're religious?" "No, I'm not religious." "But don't you go to church?" "Yep." "So you're religious?" "No, I'm not religious." And they just can't get it. But it's actually, we're not living up to some standard. Because if we're trying to do that, we'll never actually be able to live in the joy and the grace and relax in the grace that God has got for us. There's an ease about God's grace. Philippians 3:3. "We Christians glory in what Christ Jesus has done for us and realize that we are helpless to save ourselves." Has done. Past tense. It's already done. It is done. It's finished. And we can't save ourselves. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't need that relationship. If we can do it ourselves, what's the point? It's in God's grace. You know, the Message version says it really well. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. So that's the first point here this morning, just to develop habits for a more joyful life. Every day, rest in God's grace. Rest in God's grace. And it's a habit we have to develop. But there are things that kill our joy. And I'll mention a few of them here this morning through this preach. And the first one that really stands out to me as a joy killer is legalism. And verses 2 to 6 deals with that in chapter 3. See, that's trusting in what I do for God rather than what God has done for me. And it's about rules and laws and legalisms rather than resting God's grace. And you see, Paul tells us here how he tried to work out his salvation, how he tried to earn his salvation in verses 3 to 6. But it wasn't working because he talks about rituals and race and religion and rules and reputation. And Philippians 3:6, it says this, "In legalistic righteousness, I was faultless." I was pretty good. I was a Pharisee. I could do all that stuff. How can you tell if someone's legalistic? This is a very interesting thing. The first thing I thought of was, nothing is ever good enough. It doesn't matter what you do for them, it's never good enough. You know, you can bend over backwards and it just is never good enough. They're always judgmental towards people and others. Very often harsh with other people, judging others, a critical spirit. Often they're control freaks. You know, you see that. I remember going to a cafe with a couple who were quite new to our church. This is quite a few years ago, so I don't think you'll know them. But you know, they were keen to get into ministry, into leadership, to develop. And as a pastor, when someone comes, you say, "Oh, yeah, you know, we're mature Christians, and this is what we've done in our past, and we'd like to serve here, and this is what we can bring to the table." I went, "Oh, awesome! That's so good." Anyway, we went to this cafe. We're having a cup of coffee, and I just noticed how harsh and critical this guy was with the people that are serving him. And this young girl made some mistakes, and he smashed her. And I thought, this guy doesn't operate in grace. I do not want this guy leading anyone in my church. And it's very tempting to take up the gift and not look at the character of people. You know, it is the shortcut. And it wasn't very long after that I had a conversation with him about grace and actually challenged him on the grace in his life. And this is how he responded to me. Oh, that greasy grace stuff, I don't go with that. I went, okay, it's probably time you leave our church. And it's the first time, the only time I've ever asked anyone to leave our church. It was just this critical spirit, this control spirit, this nothing was ever good enough, no matter what we did. And I recognized that there was a legalistic spirit. I've since met this guy, and he actually said, you're right. He said, I've repented of all that. I realized how controlling I was, how legalistic I was. And he said, I apologize for what I did in your church. And not that I need an apology, by the way, I know he got my attention when he called it greasy grace. I went, okay. How can we tell if we're living by grace? It's being gracious towards other people. It's giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's thinking the best of others, not the worst of others. And I know that's so easy to get in that mindset of thinking the worst of others, being suspicious, being critical, cynical, all those things. But it's actually thinking the best of others. It's not judging ourselves by our intentions and others by their actions. So often we judge ourselves by, I meant to do that, but I didn't get around to doing that. And then we judge other people by what their actions are and go, well, they didn't do it. Well, you don't know what their intentions are, so how can you judge them, you know, if that's the way you judge yourself? It's okay with letting people around us not live by our standards. And we don't need to make them do what we do or how we behave. It's okay. It's you don't need to be like me. I'll still serve you. I'll still, you know, lean into that. It's okay. I don't let them change me as a consequence of that. I don't let them change me in that process, my perspective or my sense of God, what he's saying to me. But grace is trusting in God that he'll work all things for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. Legalism will suck the joy right out of us. It'll suck the joy right out of our church. It'll suck the joy out of every situation if we allow it to persevere. Philippians 3:9. But I no longer count it on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law. Instead, I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself is through faith. You know, in the Bible, the word for joy is kara, and the word for grace is charis, and they're the same root word. And when you get those sort of words like charisma and charismatic and joy and grace go together. They're the same word. So when we operate in grace, we're actually operating with a joy. So that's my first point. Every day, rest in God's grace. Second point, every day I should focus on what really matters. You know, in life, we get so distracted at what comes at us. There's so many things we think are important. How do we focus on things that really matter? You know, those little annoyances seem to get in the way. Those little things that just get under our skin and the world is so busy and we get so distracted. So how do we know what's really important? Paul says this in Philippians 3:7. All the things that I once thought were so important to me, I now consider worth nothing because of Christ. Love that. I love that version. What was the most important thing you thought was in your life before you met Jesus Christ? You know, what was that thing that you used to almost worship, you know, that you used to serve, you know, that was it work, was it money, was it career, was it being popular, was it chasing girls, chasing boys, looking cool, partying, all those things. Was it any of those things? Was that really what you thought was the most important thing? How do you know if you've really been saved? Obviously, you have to ask Jesus into your heart, first of all. That's the first thing. But our values and our priorities change as a consequence of that. You know, if your values haven't changed after you've asked Jesus into your heart, I would question the reality of that salvation, to be truthful. If we just made a decision to follow Christ and nothing changed about our lifestyle and how we lived our life, I would suggest maybe we need to consider that revelation if it was really what we thought it was. When we first become a Christian, when I first became a Christian, was totally, oh my goodness, I didn't know I was a sinner. I didn't know because I didn't realize that was what it was about. And you get full on and passionate for God. Usually, you know, when you get saved, you recognize all the things that God saved us to and from. And But the problem is, over time, we get affected by the world. It wears us down. It speaks into our hearts. And there's a consistent bombardment of sensational news and views and things that come at us, advertising, our culture. And that's why it's addressed in the book of Revelations. You know, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, I also know how you have bravely endured trials and persecutions because of my name, yet you have not become discouraged. So he says, you've done good through the tough stuff. You know, you've done good. But I have this against you. You've abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first, or return to your passion for me like you were at first, the first love thing. And a joy killer in our world is our culture, pop culture. You know, every day we see and hear advertising. You have to have this product to be happy. You have to have this. You have to do this. Look after yourself. All those sorts of things. But we need to be countercultural. Countercultural. Because that's when we start to live a joyful life. It's not... See, here's the thing. Our world isn't happy. Our world isn't joyful. Our world is cynical. Our world is critical. And we're watching... We're watching the news at night time that's designed to be sensational, to get our fear up so that we take notice of what they're saying. And that the whole motivation is to make us fearful, so we watch the news to see what's going on. And it drives us into a place of losing our joy. Philippians 3, verses 8 to 9. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I've discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. And this great quote, it's by Jim Elliot. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. First point, rest in God's grace. Second point, I should focus on what really matters. Third point, we need to get to know Jesus better. We need to get to know Jesus better. We need to know him. Not need know about him. We need to know him. In Philippians 3, verses 10 to 11, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow I may also be raised to life. See, really knowing someone, is not knowing about them, it's actually knowing them. You know, there's so much of knowing about people in our culture. Celebrities, famous people, you know, there's all the social media on what they do and how they look and what they wear and all those sorts of things. So it's not knowing about them, it's actually knowing them. Philippians 3:10, another version in the Amplified version. For my determined purpose is that I may know Christ, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more strongly and more clearly. Love that version. For my determined purpose is that I may know Christ, progressively, deeply, intimately, perceiving, recognizing, understanding. You see, a joy killer in our world is busyness. You know, day in and day out, worrying about the world, not setting time aside with God. You know, I'm too busy to set time aside. God, no, you're not. That's the answer. That's the reason we focus on God in the busyness. You know, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I'm going to fast forward just a little bit. So that was the third point. Get to know Jesus better. Fourth point here, ask yourself, where do I need to grow? Where do I need to grow? Now, Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, our decision, our Christianity is firstly a decision, but that's only the beginning of the journey. It's not the end. And it's not the destination, you know, because it's a journey or a process each one of us needs to pursue for the rest of our lives, and it should never end. We should never take a place. We should never think we've made the destination. So we're okay to rest now. We're good. We're done. We need to grow and develop and be challenged and increase and enlarge. And you know, for many of us, here's a challenge for you this morning. For many of us, have we really grown in Christ recently? Yeah, have we stopped growing in Christ? Have we stopped leaning into His Word? Have we stopped praying? Have we stopped leaning on and trusting in Him? Are we just doing the pattern of Christianity, or are we really taking this thing seriously? See, we're not working out our salvation. I mean, we are working out our salvation, sorry, but it's not. It's a work out to do that, not to think we've already made it. I've done now, I don't have to do anything more about it. And if we think of our Christianity as a destination that we've arrived, the truth is it won't be healthy. It won't be helpful. It won't be helpful to you, it won't be helpful to other people around you, and because we never arrive. You know, Philippians 3, verses 12 to 13. This is Paul, you know, the greatest Christian ever, probably. I don't mean to say I'm perfect. I still haven't learned all I should. But I keep working towards that day when I'll finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be. Wow. Wow. This guy had a reason to boast in Christ. Instead, he chose to write letters like this. I'm still not all that I should be. He's planted churches across the planet. He's sowing into so many people's lives. And so a joy killer is pride, something that will pull down our desire to want to know more of God. It's pride, thinking we have it all together, thinking we know it all, thinking we don't need to grow. I've already made it. And it's a trap of the enemy, and it's a sin, in fact. And here's the thing. Everyone else knows that you don't have it all together. You're the only one that thinks you do. Everyone else knows in your world, they're just not prepared to say it. Everyone else knows that you don't have it all together. You're the only one that thinks you do. And if you really want to know the answer to that question and be truthful, ask your partner, ask your spouse, ask people that are close to you in your life, how am I going in this? And give them permission to be real and straight with you. Now, you don't have to pretend, I'm not going to react badly. How am I actually going, do you think? We must be determined to grow. And that's got to be out of humility and a desire to know more of God and to operate in His grace every day. And we need to examine our hearts and our minds and walk out and get those words in our heart to keep growing in Christ every day, to be more like Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. See, that's sometimes we think that's what grace is. Oh, just drift along. And no. It's being proactive, intentional about our relationship with Christ and yet giving grace to others around us as we go through. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Do something about it. Last point here. Every day, forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. You know, so often we get hung up with the past. You know, for every one of us here, I'm sure there's pain, there's hurt, there's things that have been done to us, said about us, betrayal. You know, I'm sure each one of us could come up with a list very long if we really thought about it. But here's the thing. Well, I don't think joy and hurt can coexist. I think we've got to deal with that hurt and the pain so that joy can really exist in the way that it should exist in our hearts. You can't hold on to that stuff because it will stunt you. It'll keep you small on the inside. It'll actually block your joy. It'll block our joy as a consequence of that. We need to let that stuff go. We need to forget what can't be changed. See, we so often worry and get concerned about things we can't change. Just get in your heart and your head, what are the things I can't change? I've got to let them go. What are the things I can change? Well, let's start working away at those. You know, what is it right today? What is it right now? Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. It's eternity we've got to keep in our hearts. You know, use all your energy on today, not tomorrow, and not yesterday. There's no point. Sure, think about what's ahead. Focus on that. But don't be consumed by it, because we'll lose the joy of today as a consequence of that. What are some of the joy killers? Regret. We all have them. Frank Sinatra sang about them. I was trying to think, what was that song? Right? We all have them, but we've got to let them go. Resentment, hurt, pain, bitterness, revenge. See, that only hurts us when we hold on to it. It doesn't hurt the person that's done it to us. Why will we hold on to that stuff? You have to forgive them. You have to forgive them. And we've talked a little bit about that this year. Tradition. We so hold on to that thing. Wow. You know, we think this is the way we've always done it. You can't do it differently. Here's a funny thing. I think it's a funny thing anyway. We set up all the tables out the back this week. And there was a table we used to position strategically so it would cover a bit of a step in the, you know, the concrete went across and it was a trip zone. And it was like you set up this table so it would block that trip zone. Guess where the table went when we had the new slab? Right back in that position. It was like, do you realize there's not a step there anymore? We don't have to. Oh, is that why we put it there? Oh, I thought that was the way we always did it. You know, it's like, no. That's we don't need to have it like that anymore, because that was, anyway. I think sometimes we hang on to that stuff. Can I finish with this scripture? Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. A new thing. You know, at the end of this year, as we're coming towards the end of this year, God is doing a new thing in you if you are open to it, if you desire it, if you want God to speak into your heart, if you have humility and want harmony in your life, if you start to step into that joy, which is a choice for us to have. It's a choice. And joy can be encouraged by the habits we have in our lives every single day. What are you doing about that? What are you doing about that? You know, rest in God's grace. Focus on what matters. Get to know Jesus better. Ask yourself where you need to grow. Forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Focus on today and the future. Let me pray for you this morning, hey? Now you're all probably a bit sleepy in this warm, steamy, sticky. No, you're not. No, you're good. That's good. That's good. Let me pray for you then. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. God, we choose to live in that every day. God, we choose to walk in your grace every day of our lives, God. Father, we thank you so much that we can live in a joy that's beyond our natural circumstances, beyond our situations, beyond our hurt, beyond the pain. God, that we can choose to live in a joy, just like Paul does, as a choice. It's a choosing joy in our lives, God. And I particularly ask for that in the name of Jesus this year, God, and the start of next year, 2018. God, I pray that this church steps into a new level of joy, not determined by the circumstances, not determined by what's happening around us, but because of who you are, Christ. We choose to choose joy in our lives. We choose to live out that joy every day of our lives, God. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to worship your name in this place, God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that can ram home some of those things, the small, still voice that just says, you know what? You need to do that. You need to change there. You need to, and I know God speaks to me regularly about that stuff. Here this morning, I just want, just before we finish the service, do a song. I just want to ask you a question. We've talked about that decision to ask Jesus into our heart. And here this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. If you haven't done that, or you've done that before, but you, for some reason, have fallen away from that, I just want to give you a chance here this morning, as the eyes are closed and heads are bowed. Here's an opportunity just to get right with God. You know, coming into Christmas, here's an opportunity to get right with God. And all you do is just say, Greg, I want to make that decision. I want to make that decision. We'll pray with you and we'll lead you in that process. And if that's you this morning, just while eyes are closed, heads are bowed, just stick up your hand so I'll know who we're talking to. if that's you this morning, just recognize, yep, I want to make that decision, Greg. Anyone here this morning? Great. Father, we thank you that you made it so easy for us, God, to come to know you, and yet then it's the work sometimes starts as a consequence of that, as we work out our salvation on this earth, God. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with us every step of the journey, God. We pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a great big applause. Thanks.
Awesome. Very cool. Hey, don't forget to grab your...
Thanks for listening to the message today brought to you by Baylife Church. We hope the message leaves you feeling challenged and inspired to live out your Christian walk. Please tune in again for next week's